all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Kate, would you please call the roll?
Mr. First. Diane First.
Here.
Mary Beth Bushy.
Here.
Dean DiGiovanni.
Here.
Michael Borstein.
Yes, ma'am.
And Dan Hilmer.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is open time for public participation. This is the time we set aside for members of the public to speak on anything not on tonight's agenda. We limit it to 2 minutes. Is there anybody who would like to speak?
Should I just stand here?
Stand there, that's fine. And if you just introduce yourself.
Thank you. So good evening, my name is Helen Marsh, and I'm a customer of Sanitary District Number 2, and I have to say I love CMSA's progressive renewable energy focus, so thank you for that. And I'm here tonight to request that CMSA purchase 100% renewable electricity for the power that you actually purchased starting in July of this year. As you're an MCE customer, this would be MCE Deep Green. CMSA has been a leader in generating much of its own power using gas produced in your digester, and my understanding is that you're currently producing about 95% of the power that you need. But I also understand that you've recently reached an agreement with MCE for the future purchase of additional power that you'll be generating with the expanded food to energy program. And your commitment to locally produced renewable energy is really exemplary and critical at this moment in time. So nonetheless, you still purchase some electricity. And opting up to Deep Green for this power will cost 1 cent per kilowatt hour more, and amount to about $9,000 per year, which potentially could go down if you continue to generate more power. So 50% of the premium paid will go to investing in local renewable energy projects in the MCE service area, like the recently opened Solar One facility in Richmond. If you decide to go Deep Green, CMSA will be powered 100% by renewable energy, and you will demonstrate your full commitment to putting a clean, healthy environment first. So as of October of last year, all cities and towns in Marin, including the county, now use MCE Deep Green for their municipal accounts. Additionally, Marin Municipal Water, North Marin Water, Tamalpais Community Services District also purchased 100% renewable electricity from MCE. And just recently, Ross Valley Sanitary voted unanimously to do the same starting in July. So faced with the dramatic climate change impacts to the communities in Marin and around the world in the form of disrupted climate patterns, more extreme temperature fluctuations, seasonal flooding, and health complications, we must all take the necessary steps now to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. The time to act is now. So please purchase Deep Green. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jody Timms. I'm a Fairfax resident and a customer of Ross Valley Sanitary District. I also serve on the Climate Action Committee for Fairfax. So I truly appreciate all the ecologically positive things that you're doing, including the recycled water, renewable energy from the biodigester, and the food-to-energy program. You lead the way clearly in Marin on sustainability and the wastewater business. And I'm here today to request that the agency purchase 100% renewable electricity for the portion of power that you are not generating. You heard Helen speak and talk about the movement of the county and all the Marin municipalities and other special districts to opt up to 100% renewable energy. Carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases created by the burning of fossil fuels is driving climate change and spewing toxic chemicals and particulate matter into the environment. Moving away from fossil fuels and to clean, renewable, 100% greenhouse gas-free energy is an essential part of protecting our public health and our environment. If you go Deep Green, you'll be helping to build increasing momentum for 100% California clean energy at a critical moment in time. We have an urgent need for local governments to double down on clean energy production and usage given the destructive position of the federal government. So going to Deep Green is a cost-effective way to bring your greenhouse gas emissions to zero, and which in turn supports reaching emission reduction goals for the county and countywide. CMSA is very close to being 100% powered by clean energy, so please join the movement in Marin and purchase 100% renewable electricity starting July 1st for your remaining power requirements. And again, thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak at open time? Seeing none, we will move on. Next up is the consent calendar. These are matters that are routine or have been discussed previously. They will be enacted by a single motion. Any member of the public, staff, or the board may remove an item for discussion. Would anybody like to remove an item?
I'd like to remove item 4A.
4A. Thank you. Anything else? All right. Then I would entertain a motion to approve 4B through 4J.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That was unanimous. Thank you. Let's visit now 4A, the minutes. Dean.
Yes. Sorry, I'm late.
It's all right. We're on the minutes.
Under item 8, I just have one typo to correct. In the second paragraph, first sentence, Jim Dowse, that is that he and Chair First had recently discussed.
I'm sorry, which page was this?
The second paragraph of item 8, first sentence.
Oh, got it, okay.
So there's a typo that I just want to correct. And then more substantive is the discussion on the board discussed paragraph 2 and concurred that it should be rewritten as follows. So we had substantive discussion about the withdrawal section of the revised GPA. And once we had sort of agreed on this quoted language here, there was further discussion that I think I raised as in question, why would this ever even... how would this be used or why? Having gone back through the minutes, there was quite a discussion of why and context of this whole paragraph. That I think before we get to the Commissioner Gaffney's statement, that we should probably have some proposed language that I would like to add in there, just so it flows better and gives a full picture of what was discussed at the meeting.
Okay, so just to clarify, you're on the minutes number 8, which begins on page 5 of 7, but you're actually talking about a portion that is on page 6,
right.
The part with the indentation, the quote?
Right after that, yeah.
Right after that.
So where sort of the flow of how...
So between that full quote and where it starts, Commissioner Gaffney?
Correct.
Okay, and you wanted to insert language, but you're not recommending changing any of this, just inserting some additional language. Okay.
To make better flow and complete the whole discussion.
Right.
In summary, not word by word, obviously.
Of course.
So I propose that we throw in there, board members discuss when this paragraph may be used. Commissioner Hilmer provided limited historical context on the potential need and use for... for paragraph 2, and board members discussed the recent LAFCO study that questioned Larkspur's position on the board.
Okay. Any questions or comments about that proposed addition? Okay. Any member of the public like to comment on that? Okay, I'll bring it back. If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain the motion.
I'll move that.
Second.
So, just to clarify, you're moving the minutes with the edits as proposed by... Well, it's the additional language on page 6, and then there is the typo on page 5, which I still am not... Can you say again where the typo was on page 5?
I believe it's a typo. The first... sentence of the second paragraph.
There's an and there that should be removed after Chair First.
Oh, got it. Thank you. Okay, so just to clarify, your motion included those two items?
Yes.
Thank you. And your second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
And I will abstain.
Thank you. All right. Moving on now to agenda item 5, final draft of the 2018 Joint Powers Agreement, revised withdrawal section. Jason.
Thank you, Chair, first. So at the last board meeting in April, I presented the most current version of the draft JPA with all the edits since the last time the ad hoc committee met to discuss it. We reviewed the edits. You guys agreed with everything, and including the indemnification language. Then we had some questions regarding the withdrawal section. Do we have a section or not? You decided to have the section. Then we had a couple options regarding how a member could, you know, seek withdrawal from the board. You selected the language that the committee had already selected in the past. Then we had a proposed, you know, section from Ross Valley's board about entities that withdraw not having any financial, you know, any cash payments or anything from any of the members of CMSA. Then there's some revisions to that section, and we also included the section that was recommended by the CMSA Bond Council regarding, you know, if someone withdraws, they have to figure out a plan before they withdraw to pay their debt service obligations to CMSA. So that was all approved by this board, and then board members discussed it, said, well, let's bring it back to our member agencies, have them look at it, have their legal counsels look at it, their boards look at it. So we did that, and they did that, and they looked at it, and everybody agreed with the language as constructed by the CMSA board at the meeting, with the little, you know, red text section that's on in the staff report, in the withdrawal section that I included on the page one. And that was proposed by Council Jack Golby. So staff's recommendation is for the board to accept the withdrawal section as presented in the staff report, and if that's approved, then I will insert that into the most current version of the draft JPA, then we'll circulate that to the member agencies so then they can go back to their respective boards, have a discussion on it, and hopefully they'll approve those revisions. Then it'll be final draft form, pretty close to being ready for adoption.
Okay, any questions? I have one. So if this is approved with this additional language, then it goes back to the member agencies.
That's correct.
For final adoption or just preliminary approval? Did you want them to take a look at it twice or just adopt it? And then would it need to come back to CMSA for
I don't think it has to. The CMSA board wouldn't adopt it.
Right.
I don't think it needs to come back to CMSA. And really, it's at the discretion of each agency if they want to accept all the changes since the last review and adopt it, or accept it, wait for everybody else to accept it, and then adopt it through a second step. It's kind of up to the agencies.
Got it.
Okay. So it could be a one-month or a two-month or a three-month process, depending on if there's any final comments. But it's been, the manager have vetted it out, the attorneys have looked at it, you know, quite a few times. You guys have looked at it. I looked at it many, many, many times.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? No? Any member of the public like to speak on this? Say no. Yes.
So there will be open public discussion after everybody has said yes, right? Before it's finalized or not?
No, it is going to go to the JPA member agencies. So San Rafael Sanitary, Ross Valley Sanitary, and Sanitary District Number 2, Corte Madera. Those are the member agencies that will adopt this. They could choose to have an agenda item to simply discuss it and then bring it back for adoption, or they might just adopt it. I know that Sanitary District Number 2 has approved the interim language in chunks. So we've had, I think, maybe four agenda items where we've looked at the language and voted on it. So we have already approved the vast majority of the language. So I'm not sure if we're going to be going ahead and just simply adopting the entire agreement as is, or maybe possibly just having a discussion about it. So you'll have to check the agendas of each individual agency.
Okay, thanks.
So there's going to be at least three more discussions on the JPA at each of our local agencies, at least one each. Maybe one two each. For some.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, any other member of the public like to speak to this? Seeing none, I will bring it back for discussion and or a motion.
Well, this completely satisfies me, so I'd like to move that we...
Well, hold on. Mary Beth had something.
Just wanted to make one quick question. Jason, I know we've been involved in a very long process, so in your mind, is this sort of the final piece of the puzzle that needs to be put together to comprise the revised JPA?
I think so. Yes. This was the last section that needed to be vetted out by everybody. We have the exhibits that are approved. We have, you know, the full diagram of all the assets that Ross Valley prepared, you know, just a week ago. That's an exhibit to, that's an attachment to one of the exhibits. I think it's looking very good.
And remind me when we started this process of reviewing all the different components.
We started, you know, early last year with the CMSA board taking a look at the initial review of the GPA that was performed by the managers over the prior, you know, several months. And then after that, the GPA, that kind of preliminary review document, went to each board with the recommendation from this board that they appoint an individual to a multi-agency ad hoc committee to work with me and the GPA managers to go through this more formal review process. And we designed what the process was and developed a plan and broke it into like five or six different distinct review sessions. So it's been a year, it's been since last January, since the CMSA board and staff have been working on this process.
On sort of the public part of it. But
that's right.
The behind-the-scenes general manager's part started in the fall of 2017?
Probably the spring.
The spring. So by the time we get this done, so we're well into year two.
The spring of 2016.
Oh, so we are actually starting into the third year of this process.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'd just like to applaud all the people who've been doing this, because in speaking with Tom, we've been doing these kinds of things for a long time. Nobody ever does this. It was really a big undertaking.
A lot of good work by the managers and by this board and the other boards. A good collaborative, really team effort. Everybody went into it wanting to, realizing that the current GPA was antiquated, it was inaccurate in terms of explaining our business, our powers, our delivery of service. And everybody agreed throughout the agency, the managers, and all the agencies that it needed to be revised. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pretty smooth process overall.
Smooth and
very constructive.
Very nicely laid out step by step, each step building on the previous one and bringing us now to the culmination of this over 2 year process.
Yeah, well put. Yeah.
And I will say that the discussions that happened at the board ad hoc was very much assisted by the feedback we got from the managers group.
Yeah.
So having both groups, and not necessarily meet together, mm-hmm. just meeting separate and discussing it, I think really, really worked well. So thank you for facilitating that. Great job, Jason.
It's my pleasure. I'll let them know that you appreciate their work when I see them next.
Madam Chair, I just want to echo Board Member Burstein's comments. The quality of the work done by the general manager and the staff on this was really what made it work so smoothly. The preparation, as you stated, behind the scenes, the work that went into it, we don't know all of it, but it made our process very
great.
Thank you for the comments.
And I'm guessing this would be an appropriate time for a motion.
Okay, well, I move that we, let's see, what do we need to do? We need to recommend to that our boards adopt.
Well, you would accept this withdrawal section and direct me to incorporate it into the final draft GPA and deliver it to the GPA member agencies. Okay.
So I move that we accept this language and move to put it into the draft GPA. For review by the member agencies.
Thank you. Is there a second? Dean got that one. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. Agenda item 6, Clerks for Representation on the CMSA Board of Commissioners. Jason, would you like to introduce?
Sure. So this item came up during discussion of the draft GPA last month, like we discussed a moment ago with the amended, you know, language for the minutes. And it was a brief discussion, and the board asked for me to include it on the meeting tonight. And after the board said that, I said, well, you know, probably 15 years ago, I was researching this through various, you know, agency records, and there were a lot of, you know, letters sent those days, so we had lots of correspondence. I reviewed that, and it seemed there was a lot of dialogue about the seat. And that's what I remember at the time, so I said I'd go back and take a look at the history, just what we have in our records, and summarize it for you. So that's what I've done. And it was a lot of fun hours I spent reading all those old documents. But in short, you know, as I kind of explained in here, it first started with, you know, the manager of Ross Valley Sanitary District in 1990 sending a letter to CMSA saying, we're starting the process to initiate the annexation of the Larkspur sanitation area. And part of that is we're going to take over their seat on the CMSA board. So that was in a letter. There was any correspondence about if Larkspur was going to consider withdrawing or they're going to remove their seats. It just started with the annexation and we're going to take over the seat. CMSA board discussed it at the time at length, didn't take any action. And then a couple years later, the draft agreement was presented to the Larkspur Council. The CMSA board saw that. And there was language in there regarding Larkspur's representation on the CMSA board and that it would be approved by the Ross Valley Sand District, the appointment, until bonds were paid off in 2000. And these were the sewer bonds that were issued for the local share of the Larkspur Sanitation Area's investment in the Clean Water Grant Program. One of the projects was the building of CMSA. And after that date in August 2000, then the district would just appoint the Larkspur representative. So the CMSA board had a lot of discussions about that language in the draft agreement. And that's an attachment to that that section from the draft agreement. And they asked Council Govey, who was our council back in those days too, to look at it. And his initial opinion was it conflicted with that particular section in the JPA, which designates how agencies appoint. And ultimately, there was further discussions between the agencies. They hired a special counsel to review the matter and a few other matters that he didn't really get to. And he said it did conflict with the JPA. And concurrent to that, Larkspur and Ross Valley were preparing an amendment to the annexation agreement. And that eventually got adopted in 95, and it complied with the JPA. And that's attached also, and it details a process of if there's a vacancy in the Larkspur seat on the CMSA board, how that's filled. It has some detail about, public notification, interviewing, applicants, Ross Valley appointing two people to a committee, Larkspur Council appointing two people to a committee, and the committee interviewing the applicants, selecting someone, and if they didn't reach agreement on who to select, 2-2 vote, then the Larkspur Council, had the authority to make the appointment. And actually, when I was mentioning to a couple board members earlier today, when we were talking about this matter, that's how Kathy Hartzell was appointed. So when Bob Sinnott left the CMSA board after many good years of service here as our chair, Ross Valley wanted to invoke that provision, so they formed the two committees, and they deadlocked 2-2. So then it went to the Larkspur Council. And you may remember this, Commissioner Helmer.
I was there.
And they appointed Kathy. So that's kind of, the history in a nutshell.
And the other nominee at that point was Dr.
Peter Sullivan.
Peter Sullivan, who eventually ran for and was on the board of the Ross Valley Sanitary District.
And there's a lot more history to this, little nuances and site agreements, things like that. But I just wanted to summarize it briefly for you. Then also in the staff report, I mentioned, the LAFCO Central Midland Wastewater Report that was published and distributed July, and all the agencies responded to a particular recommendation in that report that the CMSA board consider its structure given, the Larkspur's, people in Larkspur's seat and Larkspur not having any, wastewater assets and resources or financial obligations. So I included that recommendation in each of the agency's responses, and I didn't include Larkspur's response, so that's the handout that I passed out right before the meeting. It was from the Larkspur Council approved this being sent on behalf of the mayor at the time. So that's my staff report. I can answer
any
questions about, the historical aspect of it.
Thank you. Any questions?
No questions, comments.
Okay. Why don't we hear from the public, and then we'll come back and have a discussion. Great. Would any member of the public like to speak to this item?
I will.
Thank you.
Hi, Doug Kelly.
Can we keep it to 3 minutes, please?
Certainly.
Great.
I think less than that.
So it probably would have been good for us to raise this at the JPA subcommittee more than we did. As I spoke to Jason today, it was not really an agenda item. I think it probably should have been. We missed that, and that's that. I was not in the room with the JPA subcommittee when we spoke about this. Maybe it got spoken about, but I wasn't in the room at the time. Now, somebody I spoke to recently who I have great respect for said, you know, this really should be just between Larkspur and the Ross Valley Sanitary District, and that makes a lot of sense. So I think that might be a good avenue for Larkspur City Council, and I would suggest perhaps a good idea would be for the Larkspur City Council and the Ross Valley Sanitary Board of Directors to have a joint meeting, I'd say in public. I don't know there is something it would be a closed session or should be, and talk about the seat. So the reason this came up now is three reasons. One, the LAFCO sanitation report. Two, the Marin County Grand Jury sanitation report, both of which said that the Larkspur seat is an old historical anachronism, it happened at the time, it's a long time ago. And by the way, one of the reasons that the lawyer suggested it shouldn't have happened the way it originally did was that it might have been invalid with LAFCO. Well, apparently not, because LAFCO doesn't feel it's appropriate, at least the way it is set up today. So, whatever the board decides to do is fine. I think we need to address this, meet this. I've spoken at length with the town manager of Larkspur and with some of the people like Dan. So I think we need to address this and look at this. One of the main reasons, in addition to the Marin County Grand Jury report and the LAFCO report, is the best practices report that they both spoke about, which is that sanitary boards meet. They talk about sanitary issues. They report to their constituents. The Larkspur seat should, at very best, report to Ross Valley Sanitary, as is in the agreement. But at any rate, I think we should meet, and I'd suggest that, Dan, I'd like to put that out, that I'd like to suggest our board and your council meet and talk about this.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak to this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back for discussion. Who wants to start?
Well, maybe I'll start. I think it's pretty obvious that we're cleaning up an agreement that's, 30 plus years old, almost 40, it's 79.
Yeah.
And that this is an item that clearly stands out that needs to be cleared up. I think when Larkspur, when the JPA started, Larkspur was a collection agency, and Larkspur paid a share of the local cost. They paid their fair share of the local cost. But since they've annexed, and it's been, 1993, they haven't had any wastewater facilities. So each of our agencies responded to LAFCO in basically saying, all four of us, that it should be handled during the JPA in one way or another. And I would like to take Larkspur, do what Larkspur says and make a recommendation, the last paragraph there. Accordingly, the council believes it's appropriate for the CMSA board to consider this recommendation, that is about LAFCO, and to propose a governance structure that complies. And I think that's what we should do. And the member of the public has an idea that perhaps we can do a joint meeting. That's fine. But I think CMSA ought to propose what we think it ought to do. So that's my point on this. I think I haven't really seen, I can't figure out what an advantage would be to having an extra member on our board. It was aiming towards a type of consolidation. The fewer agencies involved, the less complicated a consolidation. That's one. I think everybody is completely represented here. I think Larkspur would be better served coming to our board meetings, because
when you say our, you mean Ross Valley?
Ross Valley, yes.
It's worked so well over the decades.
All right, let Tom finish.
Yes. Actually, it has worked pretty well because, we noted that we're putting a heck of a lot of money into Larkspur facilities, especially in the boardwalk area. And a number of those have high saltwater infiltration. It's a priority of ours. And maybe there's, you know, maybe if you, that's a reason that you want to come to our board to let us know what the problems are.
And forgive me, when you say our board,
the Moss Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's already coming to the CMSA board, so.
Nice.
So I think, you know, I'd like to hear from other board members as well.
Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak? Mary Beth.
I would draw the board's attention to item 5 that we just unanimously approved, where we have completed our over 2-year long process to revise the JPA in that process. And we decided early on not to revisit the governance issue. Having just finished that project, I don't think we should reopen that. I think we should, in fact, follow the suggestion of our public commenter, who suggested that two parties that are not CMSA, in whatever process they deem appropriate, meet and confer on this matter and bring forward whatever proposal they would like. But I see no role for CMSA to have in dictating how this seat is to be voted. And I would, as soon as I get a drink of water, suggest that because this is not really a CMSA issue, that we should limit debate on it to 5 or 10 minutes and then move on to our actual agenda.
Thank you. Anybody else? If not, I'll mention a few things. Did you want to go, Michael?
All I was going to say is, you know, I've only been here on the Ross Valley Board for 4 years, and I suspect that in decades past there have been some tremendous issues that have happened. And I think I can say that in the past 4 years, our district has been able to embrace the other districts in a far different way than has perhaps been done in the past, and I can't speak to those. I just have heard stories in the past. It seems to me that what we're doing, what is important to have this discussion, is that this is a 30-year-old document, which, thank goodness, the JPA managers and Jason and the boards have all gotten together and said, look, this really needs to be cleaned up for the next 30 years, long after I don't plan on being around that long. And although I agree with Mary Beth that, you know, it doesn't need to be a CMSA thing, item, that all that would have to happen is that I suspect that these two different boards, Larkspur and Ross Valley, would get together and have a discussion about what should happen with this, with that seat. And I think that it's correct that should be done with there, and that this is probably an inappropriate forum to deal with that.
Thank you. Dean, did you want to say anything?
I am the newest one on this board, and I've seen great value from the City of Larkspur. I came on with Chair Hertzel as the chair, leading this board for 13 years, was it? Quite a while, and she was a fantastic leader, and she added great value. I don't think we're in the position to tell any of our member boards what to do with their representation here, and that, and also just the supporting documentation that Jason has delivered with legal counsel's differing opinions dating back to 1995 sort of shows that it's something that the City of Larkspur really needs to, I think, bow out of and relinquish it, and then we decide on how we're going to deal with that here. But putting it back to work out with Ross Valley and Larkspur is the appropriate thing to do.
Thank you.
I also want to amen to Kathy Hartzell and Dan. I have done a fabulous job with this organization. This is. Yes.
Thank you. Dan, did you want to add anything?
Not right now.
Okay. I have a few things. Since we've heard from both the grand jury and LAFCO that this is something they want us to look at, I think at least, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, we do need to develop a response to the grand jury report. I think it needs to be addressed somehow. So I'm going to give you a little challenge, Jason, to maybe listen one more time or read the minutes of these comments and try to distill how we might respond to the grand jury. Your recommendation in a later agenda item is to create an ad hoc to help draft the grand jury report, and maybe that would be an appropriate area where we could kind of distill some of these comments down. I would say that,
Moving to that item?
Not yet, no. I would say that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm not advocating for any changes on this now, but I think, like I said, it's worth the response considering we've now had two agencies that have come forward to say something. That being said, I'm kind of curious about what the ramifications would be if some change was made between Larkspur and Ross Valley Sanitary. Then does that then compromise kind of CMSA's position or our JPA agreement? I don't think it does, but what about the board makeup? Because the board makeup was originally determined 6 members, this is the voting pattern, when Larkspur was its own collection agency. So if that seat goes away, then maybe we need 5 members, or I don't know if it makes sense to keep 6. Anyway, those are all the issues that I think at some point this board would need to discuss if changes are made between Larkspur and Ross Valley. So
I think, on that point, that say this new GPA gets adopted and it's in effect. If Larkspur and Ross Valley had the discussions and they all agreed, in this one scenario, okay, Larkspur, we're going to withdraw. And they withdrew, their seat would go away, and we'd have a 5-person board. If they agreed that, okay, we're going to withdraw, but we want Ross Valley to have a 3rd seat, then that'd be an amendment to the GPA. They'd have to go back to all the agencies for consideration. They just wouldn't get the seat.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay. Well, regardless of how that plays out, I think maybe our response to the grand jury and what we decide, if any, might be next steps towards consolidation or looking at sharing of services or something like that. Some of this might resolve itself. I don't know. But my suggestion is that we don't do anything at this point. And if Ross Valley and Larkspur want to have discussions, by all means, go ahead. Dan?
I want to comment on your mention of using the ad hoc that's going to come up in item 8 as a means of talking about this. Since you brought it up under this item, I'll just state that Larkspur would have an interest and want to take part as part of the ad hoc under this condition.
We'll talk about the ad hoc when we get to it.
I have a very specific question. Jason, is the City of Larkspur a member of the JPA?
Under the current JPA, yes. And in the final draft JPA, they're still a member.
Yes.
And they have a seat.
All right. So if they are a member, then the withdrawal process that we just adopted would apply.
That's right.
So if the decision were made for that course of action, then we would go through the withdrawal process that we just adopted.
Wouldn't including that as a response to LAFCO describe?
That would be one way of describing a process that exists should Larkspur decide that that is what they want to do, and then CMSA would have to negotiate the terms of their withdrawal pursuant to Section whatever that's section 20.
You know, that just is a section on the financial situation. It isn't really a withdrawal process.
What if it's not withdrawal?
I would like to make a comment that I really strongly disagree that this is not the place to discuss the governing board of our JPA. And even Larkspur requested that we make a recommendation. I probably am not going to get the votes to do it, and that's okay. But I think even our response to the grand jury, we're going to have to discuss it. And so this is the place, you know, to come up with some kind of a plan or something of what we're going to do. Okay, if you want to postpone it to the 8, which I suppose is fine, that's okay. And maybe we use our, you know, negotiation between the two agencies, that's fine. We can't force once for all. We could request that they consider it at a council meeting. I think that's what we're thinking to do.
And when you say we are thinking to do,
we, CMSA.
Okay, is that a motion?
It wasn't a motion. It was just, it's what I think we should do. I said I didn't think I'd get the votes, but,
okay.
Yeah.
So, forgive me, that last part. You're saying, you're not suggesting that the majority of CMSA board members agree with that necessarily.
Yeah.
You're saying if CMSA agrees with that.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that no matter what, even our response to the grand jury, we're going to have to discuss our governing board. We're going to have to discuss the point they brought up. So this is the place to discuss it.
Any other comments?
I'm ready for a motion when the chair is.
There's no motion unless somebody would like to make one. This is really just a discussion item.
Then I move that we conclude our discussion of this item and move on.
Would anybody, I don't think we need a motion for that. Anybody else have anything to say? Then let's move on. All right, agenda item 7, pavement rehabilitation project.
This is a small capital project that was scheduled for this current fiscal year to rehabilitate some old and, failing, pavement, asphalt concrete pavement in different locations in the agency, due to, some other projects taking a little longer than we anticipated and increasing the scope of work for this project. We've expanded the design, expanded the schedule also, and now it involves making, four specific, rehabilitation areas within the plan versus the original two. So we moved it to more of a fiscal year 19 project and expanded the budget accordingly. So what we have is an administrative, action by the board to accept the design documents and authorize us to advertise the project for public bidding. The engineer's estimate for the project is about $190,000. We anticipate it, if it's approved tonight, we anticipate starting awarding a contract, hopefully at the July board meeting, issuing the notice to proceed shortly after that. On-site construction work starts in August, gets wrapped up by the end of the year. And I can answer any questions on the scope of work if you like, or any other part of the project. And we did place the design documents and the contract drawings out at an office on Friday afternoon. I don't think anybody looked at it but me.
But thank you for putting them there.
How confident are you in the continuing the validity of the engineer's estimate? I know our actual bids at the city of San Rafael have been coming in much higher.
I asked our engineering staff that, and they're using some current unit cost values that they received from, consultant colleagues that were based on recently awarded construction contracts that they've got from schedules of values from contractors. So they use those unit figures and just multiply it by square footage, and then they had, cost estimates for some drainage structures and other minor elements of scope of work. So They believe it's pretty good estimate with some contingency built in, but we won't know until we, you know, open the sealed bids. And what I would do is, what I can do is, once we open the sealed bids and we have an apparent, you know, responsible low bidder, if it's above the engineer's estimate, we could find some possible money within the FY19 CIP to transfer over. So that could be part of the recommendation at the likely July board meeting, unless the estimate is significantly higher or the real cost is significantly higher than what we have as an estimate. Then we'll have to reevaluate things. But I'll let you guys know once we, you know, by email, once we open the bids.
Thank you.
Jason, is a lot of this repair due to the settling of the, hasn't all the non, the area with non-piles really settled? Is this causing?
Yeah, it pretty much every, all the property here is settling. Mm-hmm. Areas closer to the hillside are settling a lot less than areas closer to, you know, the freeway. But the areas that we're looking at, you know, rehabilitating this contract, some of it is due to settlement, which caused me a little ponding in areas, and you know, some of the slopes have changed a little bit, so the water doesn't drain off quite as efficiently as it used to. But a lot of it's due just because of the age of the asphalt concrete and all of the heavy truck loads and construction equipment that have moved over that, you know, that asphalt for various agency projects. So it's a combination of factors, settlement being one aspect of the failure and the need for rehabilitation.
Any other questions or comments? Any member of the public like to speak to this? See none, I will bring it back.
I'll move to adopt the pavement rehabilitation project's construction contract documents and authorize the general manager to advertise the contract for public bidding.
Second.
All right, we'll give it to Tom. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, agenda item number 8, the Marin County Civil Grand Jury Report.
So I think most of you are familiar with this report. It was, the public release date was April 20th. I believe some member agency boards have already discussed this report. So it's a pretty, you know, I describe it as a high-level report. It doesn't really get into any of the details of how you evaluate or consider a consolidation and all the numerous decisions that we made and assessments of infrastructure and assets and rates and property tax and condition of systems and how you equalize. None of that's really discussed. But you know, it pretty much gives a little background of why we have so many special districts, and they think that we don't need to have as many special districts, especially, you know, wastewater and water, you know, utilities. So recommending a series of consolidations, one being, you know, the Central Marin agencies, which are CMSA and the JPA, another being, you know, the Sewers Agency of Southern Marin, the Mill Valley, you know, JPA agency with its six satellite agencies. And then when those are done, then they recommend that Novato and Las Colinas, you know, get annexed into the Central Marin Agency, and the Southern Marin agencies like Sasso Marin City and San 5 get annexed into the new Old Mill Valley JPA large agency, and then we all merge up with MMWD and form the Marin Municipal Utilities District. So that's kind of like what they think would be an effective model for, you know, water and wastewater service delivery in the county. And they justify that by saying that there's not really a need for local control because the public's not really involved with, you know, all the local agencies. And they say that there'd be definite cost savings through the series of consolidations. And they just reference, you know, some general, you know, recommendations in the Little Hoover Commission report that came out on special districts recently, and the LAFCO, you know, wastewater study that we just talked about, and a 2005-2006, you know, a Red Oak Consulting, you know, consolidation, well, it's called a regionalization study that was done before the CMSA board. So there's a series of findings and recommendations like in all the grand jury reports. We only have to respond to one of the recommendations, and that's what's on the staff report here. And they do want us to file an application with LAFCO by September 30th of this year. As I note in the next little paragraph, that we did about a six-month, you know, significant planning, you know, study with consultants and things back in 2007, about a year and a half after the 2005 study was wrapped up. That did move forward on a 3-3 vote. And we had this two-year schedule. And the first 18 months was just doing all the evaluations and assessments and making the decisions so we could answer all the questions that we need to have answered for the LAFCO application that got submitted for their, you know, six-month review and public hearing process. So there's no way that any of the agencies or CMSA could submit that application. And really, it's not even appropriate for CMSA to submit that. It would have to be member agencies submitting that, because we can't lead a consolidation. It has to be approved by all of the JPA agencies. Anyways, so I talked with Chair first about this at length, and we thought that forming an ad hoc committee would be advisable, and that if we did that, then we could meet with them, you know, end of May, sometime in June, bring back some a draft recommendation for the board to consider either at the June or July meeting. We have 90 days to respond, which I think was July 19th, so our July meeting is before that. And if we really got into the discussions and looking at, you know, expanded responses that we couldn't get done by that time, we could always request an extension from the grand jury foreperson. He's been very, you know, lenient on that in the past with us. So that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Just to build on something that Jason said, that it would not be CMSA that would make the consolidation plan or process, that in fact would be the member agencies. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that it might make more sense to let the member agencies figure out what their positions are in response to the grand jury report, and then look for a melding of that or a compendium of that for the CMSA report, or response, I'm sorry, in July.
One thing that Jason mentioned was that there we already have some kind of an understanding of all the various steps that would need to be taken. The Red Oak study covered a lot of that. I think it would be helpful so that everybody understands a little bit more about the process, not least of all the grand jury members, as if CMSA's response simply laid out all of the things that would need to be dealt with or studied or, you know, analyzed, if that were, you know, if the member agencies wanted to pursue consolidation. And I agree with you, CMSA doesn't necessarily need to take a position, but we could simply offer information that might be educational.
Yeah, sort of an educational. And maybe that could be done through the general managers group. You could circulate just a summary of what we know, so all the general managers would have the same thing. And
sure.
Then each one of the members could say, based on the information we've received from CMSA, this is a, you know, have some sort of a common understanding of what the process would look like.
Yeah, I could definitely do that. I could go back into my file, do the research, kind of summarize what all the different tasks were that we identified. Mm-hmm. There were dozens of things that had to be evaluated, you know, from organizational structure, you know, current to, you know, optimized, you know, how you deal with all the different, you know, compensation and benefit differences between organizations and organizations with different unions. It's a process to kind of evaluate, you know, multiple unions. Are you going to have one union? How does that work out? A lot of things to work through. I could definitely do that. Well, how about I request an extension from the grand jury foreperson, and that'll buy us some time. So that way we can prepare the list. The manager's going to talk about it. They can go back to the boards. We could pull our ad hoc committee together once we have the responses from all the members and the list.
And finalize. This is why you're a general
manager. I think that's
well, this is your guys' idea. I just kind of put it together for you.
That's all. No, that's an excellent. Let's make an extension. That sounds like a good.
You could also mention to them that we're a little bit in the middle of moving managers.
Sure.
It doesn't happen really quick. We'll be getting in, you know, hopefully. Else
you know, I'll ask Jack. I'll do that. I'll ask Jack Govey to request the extension because he represents the grand jury.
Okay. He didn't have to talk to himself. That'll be perfect.
That works.
Great. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question. So the process is for not only Central Marin, but also all the member agencies to submit individual applications for this reward.
and all this information that Jason's gathering is the precursor to that decision, or?
The information I'm going to gather is just going to be just a list of all the different tasks and activities that would need to get completed, at least need to be completed in the past to meet, you know, I don't know if it was statutory requirements in the Cortes-Knox Act, that you have all these things evaluated, like how you're going to deliver service, how you're going to address, you know, compensation. There's a big list of things that LAFCO is going to want to check off that you've submitted before they even consider the application. But I'm pretty vague on what that was in the process. I have to go back and take a look at my records.
Yeah, I'm sure rates are on that list as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And CalPERS will need to...
Yeah.
Especially
programs,
with the
rate,
changes
reserves.
Under...
Oh, yeah.
Is it AB... The most recent...
Oh, the Rodriguez bill.
Yeah.
And therefore, we are then, from this report, we are required to go through those steps, and then we're required to submit the application, or if an agency says, we don't really want to do this.
No, all we have to do is respond to the grand jury report with a letter.
Yeah.
A response.
That's all.
Right, that says, and we've thought about it, and this is what we think.
Okay. And I would say that I'm guessing the recommendation might be along the lines of, if the member agencies so choose to pursue consolidation, not only do they have to comply with all of these requirements under LAFCO, but they're not going to have it done by September 30th.
Yeah, so that's, that would happen.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what year.
Yeah, there you go. 2018 is what the grand jury wanted.
Okay.
I'd like to open it to public comment. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this?
Pamela Meigs. I have a question about the Red Oak Consulting Study, which was 2005. I was just curious on considering that's 13 years old, and that study has sort of been beaten to death. So I'm wondering if that could be looked at or talked about. I'm not sure. I think it's 13 years is kind of old. But anyway, that's just one thought. And then you know that there's still not a manager at LAFCO. We're still in search.
Right.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm off to watch the Warriors. Just a couple of things. One, I absolutely agree. It makes perfect sense for the agencies to address this first. I think everybody should have input. I wouldn't necessarily agree with a subcommittee of this because, for example, Dan's expressed an interest, and he should. I mean, they merged, you know. So, you know, who would not be left? Who would not be put in the? I think you just do it at regular meetings, my opinion. Look, consolidation is going to take a long time. It's complicated. There's a lot to it, but. I was involved with the Central Marin Police Station consolidating with the Sheriff's Department, our dispatch services, and I was involved with the Ross Valley Fire consolidating with Kent Fields for sharing captains. Consolidation works for the public. It's a good idea. It's going to take some time. It's not easy. It's not complicated, but I think it's in the best interest of people, and I think we should look at it. But September? I would agree with every comment I heard on that. That's not, that makes no sense.
You do realize this agenda item is just simply to craft a response
correct.
To the grand jury.
I'm just
so
making my points.
An ad hoc would probably, I would assume, be
down
wordsmithing just the letter
yeah.
to the grand jury.
Okay. Anyway, with that, thanks so much for your time.
Any other member of the public? No? All right, I will close public comment. So I'll just reiterate what I just said. I'm guessing if we want to go the ad hoc route, it would be taking the information that Jason is able to compile from the various managers of the JPA members, and the letter likely will not take a position, but simply kind of be more educational in nature, and the ad hoc would probably mostly be just wordsmithing and clarifying is what I would presume, but, you know.
I would like to see more of an active role for the member agencies. So I think sharing of the information is step one,
at the general manager levels, and then let each of the member agencies formulate their opinion on maybe everyone is going, oh, and let's do this by September.
Well, wouldn't they then be conveying that in their own response to the grand jury?
Right.
So we're talking about CMSA's response.
Right, and that will come after the agencies have formed theirs. So let's do this sort of in a sequence, isn't it? And that's one of the purposes of getting the extension, so that the agencies can have time to form their opinions, right, and then we can meld them into one at the end.
Okay. So do we want to put off creating the ad hoc, or shall we create the ad hoc now? What do folks think?
Put it on.
Yeah. Wait and see what the agencies come up with.
Yeah.
Will that work for your schedule? Assuming we get an extension, maybe at the June meeting we could create the ad hoc?
Sure. June or July, depending on
June
when we
or
get
July.
The response from the members.
Couldn't we just respond to the grand jury and say, Central Marin, would welcome the actions of its members and respond to them as the JPA. We cannot do the reorganization on our own. It's up to each member. Can't we just respond?
That's kind of what I was thinking our response would be. Just so we wouldn't take the position. We would just simply be responding.
I wouldn't wait till after the agent. Central Marin can respond and just say...
Well, but we don't want to vote on that until we've had a chance to confer with our respective bodies, right?
No, we don't need to do that. We can say we're going to respond to the wishes of our member agencies. That's what we can do as Central Marin, and respond to the JPA that way.
Well, yeah. I mean,
in other words, let's see, the member agencies have to agree to consolidate. And so we will, something like that, we will follow the wishes of our member agencies. So.
I, speaking for Larkspur, I agree with Mary Beth. You should request an extension and take this back to our respective bodies and formulate a carefully considered response. And then bring that together and then see what happens with that.
But which may well turn out to be the
exactly what
you said, and that is certainly the most conservative approach. That's perfectly consistent with best practice. It most likely will be the answer, but let's keep open the possibility for something else.
Okay, when we're going to get an extension? I see.
So we'll get an extension, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Have enough direction?
Yeah, definitely, sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to agenda item 9, proposed budget for the fiscal year 2018-2019.
We have a pretty good staff report here that summarizes all the aspects of the budget. Then we have some of the summary documents for revenues and expenses attached to the staff report, and this is what was reviewed by the Finance Committee a couple weeks ago. And I had a presentation that I show every year that I could kind of move through pretty fast, kind of assuming that you guys have looked at the budget, and then you could ask questions as we go along, but I won't spend too much time on these slides, but just kind of highlight some things. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
Okay. So the budget. So we'll just kind of talk about, the operating, the revenues, the expenses, the little in the CIP. Then I do have a little bit of information about the GASB 75 versus GASB, 45 reports and how they relate to, our funding our OPEB trust fund. That I'll look for, I have a proposal and just get some guidance from you guys on that. In terms of the overall budget, so the good news, which you're all aware of, we have the five-year revenue plan that was adopted by the board. It's been communicated to the members. So that really, allows us to balance operating budget for the next 5 years. It provides plenty of capital funding, which is just great. So a lot of the discussion we had in the past about the budget, we looked at the financial forecast, and it's been kind of doom and gloom. We're going to run out of money at a certain date. We don't have any projections like that. Everything's looking really favorable right now. And of course, like I mentioned, the Finance Committee met, and they really accepted, the revenue expense and the capital portions of the budget, and they're recommending that the full board accept it also, and just direct me to bring the final budget back at the June meeting. And the final budget will be in the GFOA format. what we've done in the past is we brought, you know, the draft in May, the final in June. That's usually just numbers and the accounts and descriptions. And then usually in September, October, we have the Government Finance Officer Association version of the budget, which has a lot more dialogue in it and metrics and performance measures and financial explanations and information. It takes a long time to compile that. But Ken Sprague, who you all know, had an idea that we kind of revise the budget development schedule, get the managers and accounts representatives involved a little more with creating a GFOA version, and bring that to the board in June. So that's our target. So that way we're not developing two separate budgets, just the one budget. So we're on target to do that. Then I note here that we we only budget a nominal amount for our capacity charge, about $30,000. You know, right now we collect 140, so that's good. And this is the primary, this is our first funding source for the capital program. So that's excellent. And for this year, right now, we're projecting about $800,000 in additional operating funds. Operating expenses are going to be tracking like 92-93% of budget. So those funds then transfer to unrestricted capital reserves, so they'll help pay for capital also, which is a good thing. And as you'd expect, the budget's balanced because of the revenue plan, and the 10-year CIP has a value of a little under $40 million. And with the two debt issuances, it's pretty much 100% funded, projecting out. So on revenues, we have the 3.5% increase. That's for the average EDU rate for the agency. And here's a little description of how we allocate the regional charge. The regional charge has our operating service fee and a pay-as-you-go capital fee to it. And that's what we send out quarterly to the GAPA member agencies. It's based on a rolling average of the three-month, you know, inflow and flow, three-month, you know, wastewater strength allocation based on sampling of the agency. And then other thing to point out really is how the debt service is really allocated. And that's based on what the MOUs that were adopted by each of the agencies in the past after we amended the payment agreement for our rate covenants for our bonds. And so that just really fixes the allocation based on the 10-year average EDU rate, just for financial stability for the members. Then this is just the revenue categories, you know, what the budget is, what our projection is in those categories, the proposed budget, then the increases. What's notable on here is, you know, JPA charge increase and interest. Our current interest earnings are about 1.5% with CAMP and LAIF, so we've adjusted the interest, you know, assumptions in the budget to equal what we're currently earning.
Jason, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
On the previous slide, there was something about $30,000 in... Is it
capacity charges?
Capacity charge. What do you mean by capacity charge, and where does that show up on the next slide?
Yeah, so capacity charge, whenever there's a new connection to the sewer system, the member agency collects a connection fee, and on our behalf, they collect a capacity charge, which is buy into, you know, the wastewater treatment and discharge infrastructure.
And then on the next slide, where does that show up?
The capacity charges aren't shown on here. Right, Ken? They're kind of ruled into...
No, they're not.
They're not even on there. They're so small we didn't include them in here. But if you looked at the more detailed schedule in the budget, it'd just be $30,000, like $117. It's an escalated amount from last year.
Okay.
So overall, we have a 3.6% increase on the revenue side projected out. Operating expenses, overall, increasing about 2.9% for upcoming year. And these are tied to all these various factors, you know, in our labor agreements with the represented employees and the unrepresented. There is an increase tied to the consumer price index for the San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose area with a 3% cap. That index for 2017-18 was 3.2, so it's capped at 3. So all the employees will receive a 3% cost of living adjustment for labor agreements. We have 11 employees that will be eligible for, you know, step increases within their classification. Do we have the new...
Where are we in the...
labor agreements?
Yes, the duration of the labor agreement.
Yeah, so we're starting fiscal year 19. We have 3 more years because we extended it 2 years through the letter of understanding this last year with the union.
Thank you.
Then we have the new laboratory analyst position that was approved by the board as part of the revenue program, so we can comply with the new environmental laboratory accreditation standards that are going to be issued here next year. Benefits are increased by 8%, primarily driven by, you know, CalPERS pension costs, either the employer contribution rates increasing a little bit, and unfunded liability pieces also increasing. Then, you know, we participate with many other wastewater and water agencies in the Bay Area in the Bay Area Chemical Consortium. The board approved us participating several years ago in that. That's where chemicals that we use are bid on a regional basis. The theory is you bid out, you know, a lot more volumes, you know, more competitive prices. But the prices this year for nearly all the chemicals increased. So our staff, and they've been out, they Dublin San Ramon administers this, and I think they bid out for like, you know, 18 or 20 different types of chemicals. We use about 6, and all of ours increased. So our engineering staff contacted the little bit, you know, vendors. It's primarily due to fuel costs, diesel fuel cost increases, which increase the transportation component of the unit cost of the contract, and also raw materials.
You were saying earlier that we're the only agency out of all of them that use hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, and because of that, we couldn't bid through the BACC because no one else uses it. So, but we in our contracts, we have multiple one-year extensions that use the same provision of the contract, same unit cost, if agreeable by both parties. So we exercised one of those one-year extensions for that hydrogen peroxide contract. Then we had a reduction in our solid waste hauling costs. That's with Marin Sanitary Service, and that's because in the most recent food energy program agreement, Marin Sanitary Service, you know, agreed to off-haul all of the quarterly cleaning debris from the organic waste, you know, receiving facility cleaning. That's like, you know, 15, you know, 6 or 7 yard containers full of debris. We used to pay for that. Now they're covering that in the food energy contract. So that's about a $50,000 savings in solid waste hauling. Then some other minor increases here. Most of our, a lot of our contracts have increases tied to CPI. Let's see here. So this is, I won't comment on all this, but this is, you know, the categories in the operating budget. We have about 140 accounts or so in the operating budget, and they roll into these various accounts. So you see, you know, the COLA and step increases here. CalPERS is driving that. BACC unit price increases, you know, driving that up. Biosolids, that's, you know, all of the transportation and the tipping fees at the various sites that we deliver the biosolids, they all have the CPI adjustment, so that's what that is. A little lower here, you know, reduction in, you know, purchasing lab supplies. We had an increase in the budget last year because we need a lot of lab supplies, equipment, and now we have a decrease this year from that. Minor decrease in insurance. These are experience modification rate is a little lower than in the past. And utilities, this is driven by 5% increase in water district, you know, cost increases for rates, lower solid waste, little increase in PG and MC electricity costs, and little reduction in natural gas usage. It all translates to 11% decrease.
Jason, why did maintenance decrease 5%?
In terms of dollars, that's a you know, it's only $18,000 decrease. Okay. It's just, you know, that the managers and the other staff that are the account administrators, we call them, they just, you know, sharpen their pencils on the various, you know, sub-accounts within their various budget areas. For example, let me think of what, it's all in this budget here, but I'm going to try to remember here. For example, like if they had $8,000 for conferences this last year and they only spent $3,000, then they lowered the budget to like $6,000. So there's a series of those type of adjustments. Some are increases, a lot were decreases, but it results in an $18,000 decrease overall. Okay, so GASB 45 versus 75, and we talked a little about this at the meeting, yeah. But I'll summarize. So under GASB 45, you know, we calculated in the GASB report this annual required contribution, and we made a decision back in 2010 to fund that annually. So we set up the CalPERS Trust Fund, and every year we fully fund the ARC. And by fully funding the ARC, we didn't have to report any unfunded liabilities on the financial statements. And the calculation of the ARC was designed around, okay, we're going to receive this much interest earnings based on an assumption that was approved by the board. We're using this accounting methodology that was brought to the board in 2009. They approved it. And here's this, you know, amortization period for all these unfunded liabilities. It was 30 years. So the theory was, well, geez, after the end of the 30 years, if you received that 7.28 or whatever the percent was when the board selected the number, you'd have all the money you need to then fully pay for all your future, you know, retiree medical benefits. Then we start paying from operating funds. So that's how GASB 45 was set up. So like last year, well, the current year, our ARC calculation was maybe $305,000. Then you subtract out everything you're paying to CalPERS for your retirees, and then the net was 107, and that's what we would put, we would transfer to the CalPERS trust fund that for so many years would have fully funded. Like right now, well, right now, before you guys are saying, we were about 50% funded. So that all made sense to us, and it was all great. I think under GASB 75, you have a different calculation for this actuarial determined contribution, ADC. But it's calculated in a completely different way than the ARC, and it's not calculated in a way to where you're looking at funding, you know, your unfunded liabilities in a certain amount of year. It's just the difference between the unfunded liabilities year to year. That's all it is. So when we talked with the finance committee, you know, we said, well, geez, we have $1 million more of unfunded liabilities in GASB 75, but our net ADC is only $43,000. So we were puzzled by that. So when we talked with the actuary, he explained that you can't compare the ADC to the ARC. So the ADC, if we only fund at that level each year, it's going to take a lot longer to fund the trust fund. So we amended our policy, annual budget development policy, a few months ago to comply with the response we gave to the grand jury that we were going to have a policy and a practice to fund our annual required contribution each year. So we have fully funded OPEB after a period of years. Well, that's what's in the budget right now, is $43,000 in funding. So what, you know, we're proposing is that we just keep that amount in the budget, then we'll bring back some options in the future doing a financial analysis to the finance committee, and we'll look at different interest rates of return, different funding periods with recommendation of the board. How about we, like for example, we fund $100,000 a year for 8 years, and that will fully fund our OPEB liabilities. So that's kind of, you know, what our plan is right now. So I just wanted to mention that to you and see if you guys are okay with that.
Jason, do we have to fund 45? We have to fund 75, right? Do we also have to fund GASB 45? In other words, if we just paid 43, would we be missing the target?
Well, if we only pay the 43, it's just going to take another 15 years to fully fund our OPEB liabilities.
I understand that, yeah.
Yeah.
But is there a requirement to fund GASB 45?
GASB 45 is not in effect anymore. So there's...
That's what I was asking.
It was a policy decision in the past if you wanted to fund it or not. If we decided, say the board decided in the past, we're not going to fund the GASB 45, then we'd have to show that annual required, you know, contribution in our financial statements. And if we didn't do it each year, you keep adding that each year's contribution, so then you'd have a growing liability.
Yeah.
But now 75 has replaced 45. And Ken, there's no obligation to fund 75, right? That's discretionary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the numbers are so
right.
Numbers just are so much larger because of the way it's calculated.
Yeah. And the ADC doesn't help with the funding, you know, plan that we had established under the 45. So we're going to develop some ideas for a plan and bring it to the finance committee.
Are we going to calculate GASB 45 each year?
45, no. 75, yes.
75.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, that's
3 years.
I was asking. So, you know, I was thinking 45 seems to be a more reasonable target if we want to pay it off faster.
Right.
But we're not going to calculate it anymore.
Right. And so kind of an analysis that we would do is as a policy change would be to establish 75, the ADC, as the minimum amount that we pay, required, or that we pay.
Yeah.
And then we make up the difference to say, like what Jason said, like maybe $100,000 per year, which would be very similar to what we did with the 45. So.
That's what we decided in the finance
committee. Okay, so in terms of CIP, there's a lot of information in the CIP, but we rolled it into, you know, these, you know, areas. So the CIP for next year is about $2.9 million, 31 activities, a few projects, but a lot of just like more repair and rehabilitation type activities. And here's how the CIP is funded, first by capacity charges, then by restricted capital reserves, which is the debt service coverage, then the capital fee, then our unrestricted capital reserves. And we do include about two staff FTE costs in the CIP for reimbursement for certain projects.
Excuse me, Jason. Yeah. What do you mean by capital fee?
So we have you know, in the GEP, we talk about the regional service charge. That's the
quarterly
invoice.
Okay.
The capital fee is just a component of that.
Got it. Thanks.
And here's just a little summary of, you know, some of the more kind of noteworthy projects in the CIP. We have some coating projects. We're replacing some coatings in some of our chemical storage, you know, facilities. The pavement work we talked about, finishing up our master planning. You guys are familiar with the interconnection agreement activities. We have that green project, you know, SRF loan with 75% grant loan forgiveness for about $530,000 that we'll hopefully receive back from State Water Board for all of these activities. Then we were working with FEMA on getting the design approved for the hillside slope stabilization work, which is looking like it's going to be soldier pile retaining walls built where those several failures are, and about 95% of it will be reimbursed by FEMA. And that's the next is just any adjustments you guys would like in the budgets. Then we're going to do some additional, you know, refinement of some of the expenses, you know, on the revenue side. Then we're really likely going to bring that GFOA version of the final budget to you all in the June 12th meeting. And that's the presentation.
I just had one on the capacity charges you referred to earlier.
Yeah.
The 30,000 that was shown on the slide, that's just this year to date.
The 30,000 is what we just put in the budget. To date so far, we've collected about 180.
I see.
And it may be a little more by the end of June.
Any other questions? Comments? What's that? Excellent. Would any member of the public like to speak to this?
Yeah, Helen Marsh again. I'd like to make a request that at your June meeting you have an agenda item to discuss going to Deep Green for your purchase power so that it's put onto the agenda for conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public like to speak? Seeing none.
One quick question.
Yes.
The 4% decrease at St. Quentin. How did that happen? Let me see, or 3.9 or something? Just curious, how did that happen?
I can explain that. Actually, what it is the charge is based upon the flow strength contribution, and the flow strength contribution actually decreased a little bit.
Conservation?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we do is we calculate the total amount of charges that we're going to collect from the member agencies, and then we allocate it based upon flow strength. So, you know, one district, you know, contributes more flow than the other. They pay a larger proportion, you know, of the total rate that we're going to collect.
Shall I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
The total charges went up 3.5%.
Yes.
But the allocation to each member agency varied by the difference in flow and strength compared to the total. So we came up with 3.94% increase.
Yeah, it's 3.5%, you know, CMSA service area wide, but
yeah,
each agency has a different, you know, contribution based on their flow strength allocation. So for Ross Valley, it's actually a 3.9% increase. Yeah. San Rafael Sand went a little lower, and SD2 is a little higher.
There's some evidence that we're doing a very good job at keeping more of our effluent in the pipes and, you know, sending it down here instead of leaking all over the place.
That's good.
And hopefully, if we can get rid of the eye and eye going in, we can even get it down from there.
More detention time.
Is there any other member of the public who would like to speak? Seeing none, bring it back. If there's no further discussion, let's see.
Just review.
Just review.
Provide comments. Yeah.
Yeah, just, I mean, I could, if you just want to direct me to bring the final budget back in June, we could have that in the record.
Well, this has been reviewed at least twice in pieces by the finance committee.
Yeah.
And the capital expenses this year, $2.9 million, are below, are going to be below our 10-year average, which is about $4.9. And looks like the funding is lining up. When we did this, the projections for the capital, we didn't include, as a financing safeguard, the net revenues that each agency has. I mean, that CMSA has each year. And this year, it looks like it's going to be $800,000.
That's plus. Right, yeah.
So that goes into our capital reserve.
Yeah, so that helps bolster it. Yeah.
Projects.
Okay. And with that, will we adjust the bond sale a couple years out?
I would
based
say,
on
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, what may cause it to increase, you know, or these what bids we get. So probably that's why it's good to have a safety factor.
Yeah. I have a comment on the deep green proposal from the public or request from the public. Can you bring back just what that analysis or what that cost impact would be to our operating budget?
Sure. Yep. What I'll do is I'll contact Marine Clean Energy and ask. They have staff that can do those calculations for you. And based on their schedule, they can do either quick or I'm not sure, but it'll either be at the June meeting or the July meeting I can do that. But I'll ask them tomorrow. Last time we did it, I forget, like 2.5 years ago, it was about maybe, you know, it was maybe $9,000, $9,500 additional operating expense to procure energy. For
Thank
the year.
You.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? If not, we'll move on.
Okay, great.
Okay, next up, Murphy Watershed Association. I was unable to attend, but Michael was there and kindly offered to give us a recap.
Basically, it was an activist field trip. They rented a bus. And we went on a tour of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture Wetland Restoration Tour. Wetland Restoration. We left Novato Sanitary, and first we went up to an area right above Noss Field, and it had been destined for huge amounts of housing developments, and they were able to purchase that away from everybody, and it's become open space with fabulous trails, and there are some houses out there, but not anymore. From there we went out to Highway 37, and just very briefly, originally the edge of the bay was where Highway 37 is. They put in Highway 37 and it became a levee, which then all that marshland and silt and stuff built up on the bay side. That's what you see out there. The other side was originally all marshland in the 1800s, and they filled it in to make it into farmland. I always thought it was for cattle grazing, and really what it was for was for hay. And the reason they needed hay is because it was before they had cars, and so transportation in San Francisco and Oakland was horses, and they required a lot of hay. So that's what originally happened out there. And just briefly, they're being able to purchase many, many tracts of lands out there and turning it back into wetlands. And it's really quite amazing. There are some areas that you can see that because of Highway 37 being in the way, when water does seep into the north side of Highway 37, it stagnates. So they get birds and other wildlife to come in there for a little bit, but then they leave as soon as the water is stale. Other parts of it are moving better. In fact, Skaggs Island, which I guess after World War II was set up as a, the gentleman who was talking to us referred to it as a spook base for the military, was abandoned. And they now have Skaggs Island, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it, to take some of it away and make it into more of a giant open pond and move that dirt over and build up some other areas to make it back into marshland. But it turns out that the people who owned that originally were the farmers, and there's no money in hay anymore from there. There's not much of a demand for it, and the people in Nevada are mostly getting it out of Yemen, and so they were more than willing to sell their land and buy grapes. So anyway, it's just an amazing group, and they're doing really stunning work out there. And it behooves all of us to go up there, and there's some places where you can pull off on Highway 37 and little tourist areas, kayak launches, and things like that. You can go read all about it there.
Thank you. Moving on, oral reports by commissioners or general manager. Any commissioners? Jason?
Just one thing. I have a handout here with lots of good information on it. You guys want to highlight this employee benefit reference guide that Kate developed. And we have these employee benefits and all these different policies and program documents. And we had a business activity for this year in our business plan to prepare a reference so that new employees get the reference, we put on the website, and other employees could just learn about all the different benefits we have. So Kate prepared this, and it's a really great document.
It's really nice.
It's like a consultant did it for $5,000. This is great. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Anybody else? No? All right. Next scheduled meeting is Tuesday, June 12th, 7 o'clock. See you all then. You can adjourn.
Jason, what a good